The one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
NoOffseason.com football cards collecting and investing. My grin is from ear to ear as Jaden Daniel Leaf autos continue to go for hundreds. His pro uniforms aren't even out yet, Andy. So after the NFL draft has settled, what are some of your biggest football card takeaways?
Well, a lot of us were buying the Panini Instant draft night cards that went on pre-sale heading into the draft, only for us to be refunded in exchange for tops now. So that was the big story for football cards coming out of that first round, was the fact that it wasn't just Caleb Williams. It started out as Caleb Williams, and all those transactions got refunded, or they got exchanged if you were buying them from an intermediate buyer, like a guy on eBay, then they would exchange him for tops now. But then it turned into Jaden Daniels and Drake May as well. So if you kind of read between the lines, and from the guy that I've been talking to that is a big dealer, he thinks that Caleb, Jaden, and Drake are all going to be Fanatics exclusive signers.
Would not shock me at all if that is the case. You know, Jaden was actually at the National last year, and I still have some of his National autographs where he just signed it JD5. And it's interesting, he is with Fanatics. I even told one of the Fanatics higher-ups, you're going to be signing Jaden Daniels next year. So, you know, let me ask you this. Let me ask the chat here. Are you guys a Panini Instant type of fan? Are you the Topps Instant type of fans? We saw this happen last year, not only in football, but basketball. They had some Victor Wembanyama's go absolutely crazy. So, Andy, my question goes to you.
Well, I like them from an investment standpoint, you know, because especially with the Panini Instant NFL draft night, they had the team logo on there. So it's kind of like their first NFL pro card with a little bit of pro logos, you know, associating the team that they're going to, you know, sometimes holding up the jersey. If you go back and you look at the Strouds or the Anthony Richardsons or the Bryce Young, stuff like that, you know, so you get that first kind of flavor of their pro cards. But with Topps now, it's not like that. It just shows their draft pick, and it shows them in the suit that they're wearing. It doesn't have any association to the team, to the NFL logo, the NFL team logo, that is, and things like that. So I am a bigger fan of the Panini Instant for sure, because they also so for those reasons. But then they also print the serial number on the back, so it'll be one out of like CJ Stroud was 2,427, I think. So it'll be every single one of them will say one of 2,427. And they'll do that for the players. The Topps now, from what I understand, doesn't do that. Now they do have some short print parallels, some serial numbered parallels. So that's another thing. It's like you gotta have multiple versions of every card, right?
Yeah.
But you know, their base one, I believe it's just a print on demand. That lasted up until the 29th, so yesterday. And I think that's going to create more commonality on that card, and it's not going to be worth as much. I don't know if the gem rate is as good as the Panini Instant either.
Yeah, you know, we get to Mark D. He says he's had better results grading Topps now cards, just better cards and made better. Okay. Hector says those Panini Instant autos will sell out in seconds due to the Stroud card last year, Andy.
Yeah, because CJ Stroud didn't sign the Fanatics exclusive deal until after the draft. So if you go back and you look last year, you had draft night instance for Stroud, and those did get, some of those did get autographed. They have a, you know, serial numbered version that did get autographed. Yeah, those sold out incredibly fast and were very, very expensive cards. That's the other thing. The data that I've seen, if you just go and look at the base CJ Stroud from last year, or Anthony Richardson, who is arguably more hyped up heading into the season, those cards, especially when they came back in PSA 10, which was actually pretty high. I know Mark said he had a bad experience. I actually talked to him. He said that was specifically on Wembanyama in basketball. Those instances graded. But the football data shows that, you know, they're like 65 to 85% raw to PSA 10 conversion rate. So it's pretty good. And then those were selling for like between $200 and $300 on Bryce, Anthony Richardson, and CJ Stroud heading into the season last year, until all the other, you know, sets started leaking out closer to the preseason and the start of the season. And you get Mosaic, you know, and so that's a big one. So yeah, I think that they're good cards for heading into the season. There are a lot of skill position players that didn't get signed by Fanatics, at least not yet. And I was actually able to grab a couple, Carter, and one of those Davis called out in the chat.
Wait. Who did you grab?
Malachi Corley Ooh. Was selling on Panini's website direct, and we were able to snipe some live. And I was able to get the green parallel serial numbered out of 25. And I was able to pick those up for $29 a piece, like $29.99 with free shipping.
Okay.
So yeah. And you go and look. So the other thing we're doing is going and looking at TCDB or trading card database and look. Literally no rookie cards. Like, Malachi Corley had very, very little rookie cards. I can't remember the exact number, maybe like 9 or 20. It was something crazy low.
Okay.
So basically that card from Panini, that Panini Instant Draft Night, is going to be really, really liquid, really, really popular until he has more cards come out.
Malachi Corley. God, you've been hanging out with Gabe way too much because he is going to get swallowed whole. No, I'm just kidding. He's got some true game-breaking ability. I mean, they're comparing him to Deebo Samuel. So there you go. What about Andy? You know, there's so much momentum for Caleb Williams, you know, Drake May and Jaden Daniels. How about the other quarterbacks that were selected? You personally, were there any landing spots that really stood out to you? And was there any football card things that tickled your fancy?
Yeah, so I didn't actually like dive into real quick, because there are a few guys that stood out to me. It's both like, I think there's a few quarterbacks that clearly won the draft that are already, you know, in the NFL that have pro uniform cards that clearly won. And then there's also a couple more guys that were drafted. Like, we'll talk about Michael Penix and Bo Nix and stuff here in a second. But just from like a college uniform rookie card perspective, I was able to track some pretty significant, about 30 to 40% increases in Caleb Williams, in Drake May, and Jaden Daniels as the top number three picks. Looking at their Bowman Chrome University autographed first cards, Jaden Daniels, I couldn't do that with. So I was looking at that card that he signed from the National. I was looking at some of the Onyx cards and the Sage to see how much those went up. And they definitely went up. I know a lot of people are taking a lot of people are doing their Dynasty Superflex mock drafts. They're taking Jaden Daniels at first. A big debate between him, Caleb Williams, and then also Marvin Harrison Jr. still.
Right.
But there was definitely an increase. The Caleb Williams went up from like $250 to $350. The Drake May, if you look at that out of PSA 10, that went up to like 400, from $400, from $280 to $400 in auction. And the interesting thing is they're still going up right now. Like, there were some decent auctions that ended draft night, and I think a lot of people made good money, but they're still going up right now. I'm seeing SGC 10 on that Drake May now closing yesterday for $325. So that's a big upgrade over the last one that sold for $242. So that's a pretty solid increase. And then I would say, Carter, outside of those top three, believe it or not, I think the biggest winner in terms of card values was J.J. McCarthy to the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he was the quarterback who won more than anyone. He doesn't have the top five pressure of being a top five pick. He's got, to me, outside of maybe Caleb, you could debate that, the best situation for him to succeed. And then on top of that, won a natty. Has a lot of Bowman stuff. I know a few big J.J. McCarthy collectors on Twitter. He just gets a major W going to Minnesota. I mean, you're getting freaking Justin Jefferson, and Caleb Williams is getting Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, and Drake May is getting used car salesmen. I mean, and a few rookies. It is ridiculous how good of a landing spot this is for McCarthy, and I could see the Vikings being a 9-win team potentially if he's decent.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't even mention Jordan Addison, who I know Justin Jefferson missed some time, so it really helped him out. But since 2011, 34 rookies have carved out the number three role in their passing attack, and only 9 of them reached top 36 status, like overall in the NFL. Jordan Addison was one of those wide receivers last year. So, you know, they've got a heck of a receiving core there in Minnesota. Plus, you've got Kevin O'Connell, who is one of the most quarterback-friendly play callers in the NFL. So, yeah, J.J. McCarthy, you can see here, PSA 10. It doesn't even have the first logo, but J.J. McCarthy, 2022 Bowman University Chrome, PSA 10, selling, buy it now, March 1st, February 15th, for about $215. And then you fast forward to today, yesterday, $350. So
wow,
significant increase. If these were pro uniform cards or even draft night instance, I think they would have gone up even higher. And I'm very interested to see what those will sell for, because as far as I know, J.J. McCarthy has not gotten the Fanatics exclusive tag yet. So there's still hope for him. And I think they're going to sell really well, because obviously big uniform difference between Michigan and Minnesota and the color scheme and everything. So as soon as we get some Minnesota flavored cards for J.J. McCarthy, I think they're going to sell really well. I expect him to be in this $300 type range, like PSA 10. And clear value increase. But imagine if these guys had pro uniform cards. I would expect their rookie autographs to be more between like 500 and 1,000. That's the difference we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. And the only thing that's really working against him is, will he even start? Right. So we'll see if they roll with Sam Darnold next year. The same thing could be said for Michael Penix and Bo Nix. I think the other three are pretty much locked in the starters role. I think of the other three, Andy, Bo Nix is the most likely to start, even though he was the latest to pick. And Andy, all our lovely viewers have been waiting for this show to give your hot take on the Michael Penix pick to Atlanta.
Dude, it was such a bad pick. I mean, the more I dig into it, you know, you pay Kirk Cousins over $100 million guaranteed money. So it's not like you're moving anywhere off of him. And now you spend an early first round pick, a number 8 overall pick, instead of building around Cousins, where you could have taken a ton of different linemen there. You know, you go in and you draft a quarterback that's coming off of two ACL reconstructions, can't throw over the middle of the field, struggled in the national title game and at the Senior Bowl. I mean, it's like, what are the Falcons doing here? I you know, they have new coaching and stuff, but this pick was very suspect. And, you know, I will say Darnell Mooney was a big winner. If we had to talk about, like, winners on the Falcons from this, because they could have drafted Roman Dunze. They could have drafted a variety of elite wide receivers there that would have slotted in wide receiver 1B to Drake London. And they didn't. They totally passed up on any wide receiver. And so Darnell Mooney is probably going to rarely leave the field in 2024, you know, and be catching deep bombs from Kirk Cousins. So I think his value should go up from this.
Can I just get the tiny violins? I wish I had some sad music I could play in the background, but Brock Bowers to the Raiders. That pick hurt me, Andy. It hurt me. Hurt me because we got some big Brock fans, and he goes to a rough QB situation in a room where there's another top 50 tight end who we know is at least decent. So Brock Bowers, known by many as the best college football tight end ever, Andy, won 2 national titles, won the freaking tight end award. He's the freaking dude. And Brock Bowers to the Raiders. I'm hurt. I'm hurt.
Yeah, it sucks for both him and Michael Mayer. It's not good for either one. You know, it's a target squeeze, which is like you never want to see. And you know, I didn't like the Raiders draft either. But I will say, once again, I try and, you know, look at the guys that did win on the Raiders. So you're gonna have Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, one of those two starting at quarterback. We kind of have read between the lines there. Okay, so we've got some good information there. And then they didn't draft any competition for Zamir White. I'm just gonna say that. Drafted zero competition for Zamir. I think they spent a 6th round pick on a running back that had a comp to Rex Burkhead and Chase Edmonds, which that's no competition at all. So, I think that he was a big winner from the draft if I had to look at the positive side of things. But yeah, it was a loss for both Bowers and Mayer here.
Is there a before we get into wide receivers, you more than any sports content creator have pushed for running back cards to matter? Because, you know, like in fantasy football, do RBs matter? Are we going to go 0 RB? In real football, Andy, what do they always tell us? Running backs don't matter. Don't pay them. And in football cards, they tell you the same thing. I mean, you could still go build a pretty nice LaDainian Tomlinson collection for $3,000 or $4,000, and he is the best running back of this era. All right. But Andy, we got to talk about the RBs because no position goes unturned on the football card quest. Is there a running back landing spot that stood out to you?
A running back land. Well, Jonathan Brooks, if he's healthy, I think he's stepping into a big role. You know, with Carolina as a team that everybody is undervaluing right now, and think they just automatically assume they're going to be terrible again this upcoming year, I think they can exceed expectations. So he's interesting just being the top running back drafted and going to a running back room where the competition's easy is weak. Miles Sanders, he's totally flamed out. Chuba Hubbard was average at best. So I think he can come in there and take a primary workload. And then you also have Trey Benson to the Cardinals. I think he's going to squeeze a lot of time from James Conner. And the Cardinals are another up-and-coming team, finished the season very strong. They add Marvin Harrison Jr. They held strong on that pick, and they made it, which Kyler Murray is going to benefit. And then they draft Trey Benson, who I know we've talked about on the channel before. I think he's much better than James Conner and is going to take a lot of that work from James Conner, as James Conner is getting older too. And has dealt with significant injuries before. So, I like that landing spot for Trey Benson.
My RB1 was Braylon Allen, and he goes to a horrible landing spot with the Jets. I'm going to go in and give you my play of the week, Andy. I'm gonna go in and give it to you. Or should I save it for the end?
Oh, you want to give play of the week early?
Because we're on the – no, I'm going to save it for the end. I'm going to save it for the end. I'm going to make sure. Because I was going to hit it with you midway through today. There were some spots, like some running backs. I liked Jalen Wright, went to the Dolphins. Obviously not a great spot for him, but those running backs ahead of him get hurt. So it should be very interesting. Isaac Garrido is an unfreaking believably athletic running back out of Louisville. He goes to the 49ers. Does he move ahead of Elijah Mitchell and become, you know, the top handcuff? And then Andy, one guy I think that could fit in a little bit better, even though pass catchers aren't a big part of the Philadelphia running back offense, Will Shipley. I liked Will Shipley out of Clemson. I've drafted him quite a bit in underdog drafts. So a lot of my guys did not get good landing spots. Audric Estime was another guy that I liked a lot. He goes to the Broncos. That's a horrible, horrible landing spot. But running backs, I kind of faded. Trey Benson, like you just mentioned, going to Arizona with old James Conner ahead of him and an absolutely loaded offense surrounding him. That might be the guy, Andy. It would not shock me if he is the RB fantasy one, even over Jonathan Brooks this next year.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me at all. And then another guy, I'll throw one more guy out there that I think is going to have sneaky upside. And then the guy he supplanted is Marshawn Lloyd for the Green Bay Packers. Right. Carter, I'd love to get your take on this. I know they brought Josh Jacobs in, and obviously he's an all-purpose bell cow. He has been before for the Raiders and put up big numbers. But, I mean, this means that A.J. Dillon is pretty much totally flamed out. Totally dust there. And I think Marshawn Lloyd could actually carve out a role for himself, much like what A.J. Dillon should have earned. But I think Marshawn Lloyd might force A.J. Dillon out of that room.
Crypto Nut says Dylan Lauby is the Raiders backup. I actually liked him okay, but he is a little bit on the older side. And we're Zamir White believers on this channel. And one thing Zamir did, it kind of angered me, but I get why he did it. Andy, he switched to the single digit number. He's rocking the number three. I will tell you this, when Josh Jacobs switched to eight, he started going off. But I stick with the same jersey number, please. It makes us football card fans go crazy.
Yeah, one running back that takes a big hit. I don't know what his jersey number is, but Kyren Williams, I think stock takes a hit here. Drafting Blake Corum, and you had in the draft presser, but the GM and coach Sean McVay and Les Snead, they basically said Kyren Williams or Blake Corum was a carbon copy of Kyren Williams, which is why they liked him, which is why they spent the third round pick on him. But now you have like question mark there. I mean, obviously it's going to be Kyren's backfield to lose, but why would you not kind of rotate them out more, have more of a 50-50 workload, especially if Blake Corum can pick up the playbook and handle all the same responsibilities that Kyren is today. I think his stock immediately kind of takes a hit after that pick.
Yeah, and look, it might be the time to sell all of these guys, right? Or if they have like a big preseason run, sell it. Because as we know, running backs are always risky investments. I personally don't buy a whole lot of RBs, but I also mostly collect. I'm not much of a flip invest kind of guy anyway, but still. Andy, I'll tell you this. I wasn't as high on Blake Corum as others were. So I feel a little bit better for Kyren moving forward. And Andy, we go to your favorite position now, wide receiver. All right, rookie wide receivers. Marvin Harrison gets the golden ticket. And it's just as clean of a landing spot that you could really imagine, knowing what the Cardinals want to do offensively and high draft capital. The sky's the limit. And then my guy Malik Nabers goes to the Giants, which is not a great landing spot.
No, but I mean, Daniel Jones, or maybe even Drew Lock, if Daniel Jones isn't healthy or can't go or just is so terrible, maybe they bench him for Lock and give him time. But one of those guys has got to go up in value here. I mean, come on. I mean, Malik Nabers should seamlessly fit into this Brian Daboll's offense as a big play machine, you know? So, and then they also drafted a tight end, and we have Darren Waller likely retiring. I think I've heard rumors that he is retiring. So they drafted a tight end to kind of replace him. And then they also spent a later round pick on a guy that really popped at the combine in Tracy.
Yeah. I like Tracy, the Purdue running back, even though he is a little bit older. I still think Malik is going to be special. I'm not backing off of it, even though the landing spot here is not the cleanest. He does immediately become the best player on that offense, period. I think he's special. I really, really, really do. Andy, I'll let the floor be yours here. I have a few takes on this. Is there any other wide receiver landing spot that really excited you the most?
Oh, heck yeah, man. Xavier Worthy to the Kansas City Chiefs was, I mean, that was what did it for me. I got caught up in the hype. You know, you're typically not supposed to react and buy, but I actually spent considerable dollars on round one at the end of round one once Xavier Worthy was drafted by the Chiefs. And we'll see what happens. But I bought a couple Xavier Worthy cards. But with the whole situation with Rashi Rice and just the fact that the Chiefs moved up to get him and then they also got a lineman, I think Patrick Mahomes is a big winner from this draft. I don't understand how the other teams could let the Chiefs just get away with this kind of stuff. But, I mean, they once again, I think they destroyed the draft. They did a great job. And Xavier Worthy is just an absolute menace with the ball in his hands. He broke the combine record, but he's not just a straight-line speed guy. He's a guy that's got finesse. He's a guy that can do punt returns. I mean, he's a guy that could very much have a, you know, Tyreek Hill type rookie season and really bust onto the scene. Tyreek Hill was one of those guys who, as a rookie, was able to establish himself as a top 30 receiver. So wide receiver 29 in his rookie season. So I don't see why Xavier Worthy, with the whole Rashi Rice situation, can't come in here and put up some really solid number. I think this is probably – I was the most excited about Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs.
Here's a few things, Andy, that I found to be interesting. There were so many guys that people had slated going in the first round that completely fell out, right? So we're talking about A.D. Mitchell, huge drop to – the Colts, even though I think that's going to be a good spot for him. Troy Franklin is a favorite on here. He goes to the Broncos, fourth round draft capital, but he's with his former college quarterback if that were to work out. And I found that to be interesting because there were some guys that were on the lower end that stuck into the first round. Xavier Leggett is one of those guys at Carolina, and Ricky Pearsall going to San Francisco. Is that a sign for either Brandon Ayuk or Debo being told to pack your bags? You're going to New England or something like that.
You know, the 49ers actually drafted two wide receivers. They drafted two wide receivers. I know that the second one was a fourth round pick in Jacob Cowing, but if you look at their overall draft picks, they definitely set up for being able to replace like Brandon Ayuk. I mean, I think that they're definitely shopping him, even though that John Lynch says they're not. I mean, it's right. I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and we wouldn't know until news actually came out. But Ricky Pearsall, I mean, that guy, 99th percentile athleticism. I mean, really impressive. So yeah, I mean, they look at him as a playmaker. They could put inside, outside, very versatile. So I see why they drafted him. I think that he's going to have very expensive rookie cards as well, because he's got literally nothing as well. And he's another guy that I probably should have jumped on the Panini draft night instance. But there's a lot of uncertainty with the 49ers, man.
I like Jacob Cowing. I'm glad you mentioned him. Crisp route runner. And to me, feels a little Puka-ish in many ways, right? A little. But do not sleep on Jacob Cowing. Now, Andy, this is why, you know, I'm saving my play of the week for the end. All right. This was Stone Cold Nuts play of the week, because I thought he was going to get drafted into a good situation, and he did. My guy Jermaine Burton going to the freaking Bengals. What a landing spot, especially if T. Higgins actually gets dealt here. A lot of weird smoke being thrown around with that. But do not be shocked if Jermaine Burton is that dude. And we gave out play of the week a few weeks ago. You can get his auto $6-7 out the door. I think he's going to make a few big plays in preseason, and people are going to start getting a little excited.
Well, this guy's got quite a few rookie cards. It makes sense. He definitely should step up as like a number three. A lot of guys think that he can take over for T. Higgins by the end of 2024, entering 2025. He just slid that long because of character concerns. Carter, you called this one perfectly. And yeah, he got a very, very favorable landing spot here with the Bengals, and immediately started getting hype. The cards immediately started spiking up on draft night. And I think he's a guy that's definitely going to have some hype heading into the season with the Bengals. And, you know, like pro uniform rookie cards, when those come out, the character concerns, unless they rear their ugly head, like in more recent news, like reckless driving and speeding and all this other stuff these wide receivers get in trouble for, yeah. Then if he can stay out of that, then you probably a lot of guys aren't going to like really know what his college backstory is and blah, blah, blah. They just know he's a wide receiver. He can make plays with Joe Burrow. That's going to lead to a lot of hype.
And let's go to Mark D. Ladd McConkey to the Chargers is probably, I would say outside of Marvin Harrison with the draft capital and no real big wide receivers, Ladd McConkey going to the Chargers is a very clean landing spot because Herbert's number one guy right now is Josh Palmer.
Yeah. So I think Ladd McConkey's one of those guys that can step in and become a wide receiver one. He could easily become a wide receiver one. But if you look at the overall draft from the Chargers, I mean, you read between the lines. I think what you're reading is that Jim Harbaugh is playing his flag. He's saying he wants to run the ball a lot. Right. Of course, they're going to throw it a little bit, but he wants to run the ball a lot and he wants to play defense. So we'll see if that works out for him. I got a feeling that's not going to be great. It's not maybe not the best strength, best way to use Justin Herbert. Ladd McConkey, though, was like the bare minimum addition that they could do in this draft, I feel like, for the passing game of the Chargers.
I like Ladd McConkey. It's just he had just brutal health throughout his Georgia career, just nagging injuries, but he could play. So there you go. Let's go to Hector. He says, man, he wishes he could get Jordan Love and CJ Stroud cards cheaper. He says both will have big years. And Femi the Lion, I still can't get over that name. It's so great. Yeah, he said it's a wrap on Stroud rookie cards, especially those case hits, high dollar.
Yeah, and they're not going to get any cheaper. And that's why, like, I've pivoted. If I find $20 base prisms in good condition for CJ Stroud, I'll buy him, because we saw Joe Burrow cards like that in his third year go up to like 80, in some cases almost $100 raw whenever he was going into the Super Bowl. So if CJ can make a Super Bowl run or even a championship game run this year, and he's like MVP consideration in just his second year, and he picks up where he left off. I mean, you look at the offseason moves that they've made. You look at the draft here. It's pretty solid. I mean, I don't see any reason why the base cards for, especially from premium sets like Prism, you know, it's the main one. Then Optic, definitely Optic, and we can talk about that here in a little bit. But you look at the defense, offensive line, you know, tight end Cade Stover, defense, running back, defense. This defense has made a lot of improvements this year. They've got a defensive-minded head coach and D'Amico Ryans, and then they've got an awesome offensive coordinator. So, I mean, I don't see any reason or indications that this team should regress. If anything, they should progress and exceed expectations. I think they're a favorite right now to come out of the AFC, and those base cards should get pretty expensive by the end of this, Carter. And so I know the case hits, the rare cards are really, really expensive, but even getting a base Prism CJ Stroud in good condition for $20 or under now, I think is a good investment.
And another good investment is joining the Football Card Patreon, patreon.com/footballcards. It's pretty simple. You can go to the nooffseason.com network and join us. You get private one-on-ones with me and Andy if you choose to do so. But more importantly, you're in a community of a ton of football card fans, and they're always in there willing to help you out. So make sure you join us, the nooffseason.com and the Football Card Quest Network. I love it. Oizy baby, your guy Brandon Ayuk. I would be ready to sell Brandon Ayuk wherever he actually goes, Andy, just off the news.
Yeah, for sure, man. I don't the news spike could be really, really significant. Yeah, I don't think he could land on the Chargers now the Commanders at this point.
Yeah, I believe so. I really do. Him and Jaden love each other. I mean, there's just no other way around it. And, like Jahan Dotson just sucks. I think Ben Sinnott was one of my favorite picks, and Ben Sinnott with Jaden I think Ben's going to be pretty good, but he's still just a rookie. And Terry McLaurin's a really good player, but Brandon Ayuk immediately becomes the best offensive player on that team. And then if you add him, you have him with B-Rob and Austin Eckler. I would love that fit for him. So there you go. Now, Andy, it's time for hobby tip of the week. I'll go first. It is partially the reason why we went to start, because I was hot-headed dealing with a customer service rep that screwed up something pretty big for like my actual job. And I hated that. I never blow up Andy, but it had just gotten to that point. I would always say this, though, with football cards, be very mindful of who you do business with, right? I trust Andy with my life. I've sent Andy cards and stuff like that. That's why I'm a part of this network. But I do see a lot of people using like third party group submitters or whatever. Look into it. Look up like a gazillion different vouchers on that. And the next one, Andy, I'll give is, look, you're a CGC guy, right? We like CGC. They support what we're doing. I wanted to shout them out. They got I believe it was a $3 million. There it is. Okay. Andy, I'll let you take it, man.
Yeah, this is a great, great sign for CGC card grading. They now have the record for the highest price paid for any Magic the Gathering card. $3 million sale on an Alpha Black Lotus gold label pristine 10. So congrats to them. I mean, it's a fantastic achievement to see that one of their gold label pristine 10 cards gets that high of a resale value. The more and more data that it's slowly coming out, but the more and more data that I find, it points in an upward direction for CGC card grading. And, you know, they've only been grading sports cards and trading cards since 2021. So, you know, it takes a while for the grading data, just the population of graded cards with them to grow. But as more and more comes out, you know, the sold results can speak for themselves, and they're right in line with this SGC, BGS. Sometimes they're being you know, sold very favorable prices, comparable to those kind of right behind the PSA and like PSA 10. You know how like a SGC 10 and a BGS 9.5 has been close to a PSA 10 a lot of times, but a SGC 10 and a CGC 10 are very comparable to like a PSA 9 to a BGS 9.5. Depends on the card. Some raw cards in PSA 9 sell the same, you know, and then that same card in a CGC 10 could sell for more like a BGS 9.5. So, you know, it just depends on the card and the player, but the more and more population and sold data that come out on their slabs is very good.
I love it.
CGC. Let's see.
Making your cards money, baby. I love it. So yeah, you know, I'm starting to talk myself into doing some submitting, and if I do so, I'll probably do it through you, Andy. So I'm about to send you a bunch of cards, and you can do the same. Football Card Quest, once again, join our Patreon. Let's go to Crypto Nut. Normally around this point of the show, we'll talk like actual like card stuff. How does anyone feel about PSA going up this month? Andy, did you know about this?
Their pricing structure?
I guess so.
I mean, they have seasonal deals that they do, and then they'll revert back. I think they do it to fill up their queue or their backlog to a certain degree, and then they'll raise the prices back up. I don't know what the new price is going to be, but I can't see it going for higher than like 25 a card.
Yeah, I'm not a PSA subscriber, even though I own most of their slabs. Here's what I'll say though, Andy. I understand like the upcharge thing. I get it, and I know people get excited when PSA upcharges your card because that means that you got a 10, right? And your card hits another service level. But the truth is, as big of a fan of PSA as I am, I like their product. I will never fully understand the upcharge thing. It still to this day blows my mind, because if you were to walk, Andy, to any other business and they told you, hey, the services we provide could go up during the process of our service, it sounds sketchy, right? If you were to talk about that to anyone when it comes to appraising what they have. So I will never, ever quite understand it. Or am I just off base?
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, if you know, you know. So when you submit to PSA and you put in the declared value, it's not like you put in the raw declared value. You have to put in the value of what it's going to come back at as a PSA 10. If you do that, you're never going to go up into a different tier for each card grading, because your declared value would be at its highest threshold. So the whole reason why they do that is so they ensure their shipment back to you for the proper amount. And so if, for example, you know, they have a $500 declared value threshold, and then it goes up to the next submission tier where you need, you know, to pay additional on a per card basis to have a higher declared value. If you put in the PSA 10 declared value when you're doing your submission, that'll make sure you're in the proper tier you won't get upcharged whenever it comes time to ship the cards back. Now, right. It is different. You have to set the money aside. Like the very first time I graded with PSA, they don't charge you until your cards are coming back. So, you know, it'll be a good month and a half before money comes out of your account, which could throw you off if you're not expecting that and you think you paid for it a month and a half ago kind of thing. So just, you know, keep that in mind as well.
So this would be my thing, though. It's so wild. Like, I laugh at this because if you submit at the highest tier, they're not gonna give you your money back if it comes back at it like a six, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I've heard.
No.
Like, yeah. So it doesn't work inverse. The inverse of it doesn't work.
Yeah. So their declared value 1980 to present, 45-day turnaround is a $500 declared value at $25. Now, if you do exceed that as a PSA 10, then you have to go up into the regular, which is $75 a card. So that's a significant jump because they go from value at $500 declared value, and the next jump is regular at $1,500 declared value, but $75 per card. That's a significant jump. So you see how that one bulk grader got in so much trouble because they had so many cards jump up to the next tier. And if you got 100 cards that all of a sudden $50 additional per card, you know, you got an extra $5,000 on your tab. I think that could cause some issues for some people when going to pay on the back end, especially.
Yeah. And look, once again, I like the CGC. I like the CGC slabs. I was the one that brought up the $3 million thing. I will always be a PSA fan as well. But if I were just new into the industry, I would roll with CGC, knowing that what I'm submitting, the price that I'm submitting is the price that I'm submitting, and it's pretty insane to me that the service level. But as Hector points out, if you have a truly rare high value card, you could possibly get it graded for free. I wonder if they charged the Victor Wembanyama 1/1 card that went for $500,000 because it gemmed. So there you go.
Yeah, I just like so CGC's fee structure. It's they do their max declared values a little bit differently. If you go and actually, I won't get into all the weeds on their declared value. Basically, their declared value terms and conditions, but it's basically the current fair market value of the collectible if it were to be sold in its current condition, not in the graded condition. So basically it's like an insurance value to place on the actual raw card. But that starts at $250 max value per card, declared value on the raw card, at $12 per card on 25 card bulk submission. Then you jump up to their economy where it's like you can just submit one card. It's only $15 per card, and it's $1,000 max declared value. So their fees are way better. And as they continue to grow, if you look at the quality of their slabs, you look at their grading consistency, you look at their customer service and just how they keep everything in-house, I mean, they're really doing a great job. And as they continue to grow over the next few years, we're going to see a lot more data. So I'm really honestly proud to be sponsored by CGC and like affiliated with them because I think they really are a great company.
Yeah. So there's so many different like rabbit holes you can go into with the PSA and the grading company stuff. You can even do a whole show where you just talk about grading companies. I love it. Like I said, I really do like all the grading companies. There's just so much stuff that is just that is baffling about it. And I always ask myself this question: how could you explain this to someone who's just now getting into sports cards? And I think honestly, grading is probably the most baffling thing to people when they get in. So it's interesting. They said it was $8,000 to grade that Wimby 1/1. That's insane. But it was a $500,000 card. Like I said, I will happily upcharge, take that upcharge any day of the week. But there you go. Now,
yeah. And real quick, Carter, you grade with CGC. Like if you go over the $250 threshold, like they will bump you up, but you're being bumped up $3 to go up another $750 in declared value. And so it's like the upcharge from that is very minimal, and isn't you're not going from 25 to 75. You can actually go from $1,000 to $10,000 declared value with CGC. You're only being bumped up to $50 a card. So it's like, you know, there's no comparison there.
Yeah. And then here we go. This is what I try my best to do on when I'm here, Andy. Put Joseph Torres comment. Welcome, Joseph, to the channel. Has Joseph ever commented on any of your videos, Joseph Torres?
Joseph Torres. I don't recognize the name. How right. Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Got it. Let's go. He says, I just got into the hobby a few months ago, and this stuff with grading is very confusing. Exactly. Like, that's helped me out so much in football cards, Andy, and just cards in general. Like, I'll say this. A pretty influential sports media member reached out to me because he wants to get back into football cards or just in the sports cards. And, you know, I told him, I was like, I could help you, but that's why, like, we have a network, nooffseason.com, doing the one-on-ones and all that stuff. I really do mean this, and I know this sounds like I'm just shilling for something. I don't make any money off of this. I really don't. I'm only, you know, lifting up Andy's service. If I were just now starting, I would immediately do the $6.99 football card Patreon tier. I would immediately do it, Joseph. So he says, first time watching our videos live, Joseph, you should join our football card Patreon, man. I'll even get your first month, sign up and I'll Venmo you the first month fee. What's the fee, Andy, for 1 month, $8?
Yeah. You could join for as low as $6 right now.
Yeah. So Joseph, sign up. If you like it for a month, you could just cancel. I'll Venmo you the $8, because this is your first time watching. It's a lot. That's why we have that service, because I lost hundreds because I just got into it. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So sign up, Joseph, and then Andy will connect me, and I'll
be – Yeah, we'll be doing more group submissions this summer right. as well.
So because, like, if it is your first time watching and there's people in here that have been doing it for forever – I'll Venmo you the $8 to get you in the Patreon, and we'll walk you through grading or any questions that you have. So that's why I'm a part of it. Now, it's time for play of the week, and it's my favorite part of the show. You want to know why? Because these could come back to bite you in the ass, right? And like you can get, like, I remember the most money I've ever lost in a card was a Jameis Winston card. I should have never done it, and I actually had a chance to cash out at double profit, but I was like, Jameis to the moon, because he was a quarterback of my favorite. But I like to think I've had a good year play of the week. I gave Trey McBride before he broke out. I gave you Jermaine Burton a few weeks ago. We'll see what happens. All right, I'm going to give you one. This is one running back we did not cover, and I understand it's a running back. But Kamani Vidal, the pride of the Troy Trojans, Kamani Vidal goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, Andy, who is the Los Angeles Chargers' first-string running back?
Well, J.K. Dobbins, I guess, if he's healthy.
Okay. He's not ever going to be healthy. Who is the real Chargers first string running back?
Gus the Bus. Didn't they? They got Gus the Bus too, man. They got a duo deal from his brother.
Gus freaking Edwards. That's all Kamani Vidal has to clear in a Jim Harbaugh offense when they're going to crown that freaking rock. Kamani Vidal. Okay. Doesn't have a whole lot of stuff out there. He's got like Sage Autos that go for like $4 or $5. He's a later round running back draft pick. And when it comes to running back, it all comes down to your draft capital. So we got bad draft capital, but we get a good landing spot. Kamani Vidal is my play of the week. He's not even my favorite running back when it comes to film. I've already shared all the guys that I like. If you want to see that, check it out. But Kamani Vidal, that's my play of the week.
How do you spell his last name?
Vidal. I probably should have done that. But I see some cool Leaf stuff ending at like a ton at like 99 cents. He's got a lot of autographs, like a crap ton of autographs. When I looked this morning, but
he's got 31 different cards and they're all autographed. Just looked here on Trading Card Database. Yeah, so they're all Leaf Trinity cards, and they're all autographed and they're all going to be serial numbered as well from that set. So. And all serial numbered pretty low. So yeah, don't hesitate to you know, take some swings on the Leaf stuff if that's all they got, because it could be a while before, I mean, this guy's a 6th round pick, so it could be a while before he has anything pro uniform related, you know. The breakout's big enough, they do the Panini instant, but otherwise he may not have like a true pro uniform rookie card till after the season this year. Like, you know, next year he's got like a contenders rookie ticket auto, you know. Yeah, man, his profile looks solid too. I'll take your word. Player Profiler has him best comparable to Isaiah Pacheco. There you go, man. That's huge.
Let's freaking go. I will say this. Gabe makes a good point, though. This is a very good point. Next year's running back class is going to be vicious. All right. But that's not what we want to talk about now. Your play of the week, Andy. Let's roll.
All right, man. My play of the week is a current pro uniform player's entering his third year. And he's a big winner from this draft. So the Detroit Lions lost Josh Reynolds of free agency. They elected not to draft a single wide receiver. Amon-Ra St. Brown's cards are very expensive. I think now's the time to buy Jameson Williams. He's not my favorite guy. Like, I'm not a big fan of Jameson Williams, but I think, you know, he should pick up where he left off in the NFC Championship game, where he put up 2 touchdowns, you know, one off a jet sweep, one off that nice reception. I think he was a huge winner from this draft. I think he's a guy that you'll see his fantasy ADP, so where he's drafted in fantasy drafts, climb throughout the rest of this offseason, entering the season, which is also indicates that his rookie cards are going to become more and more demanded as we get closer to the season and as the season hype becomes very real. So I think Jameson Williams is going to be a fantastic flip potential guy for the beginning of September this year. So he is my play of the week right now.
I still got that JMO PSA 10 color match from the National that you saw me trade for. So if you're on it, I'm on it too. Let's go, JMO. Just put the football in his hands. Let him go to work. We saw that touchdown versus the 49ers. And Andy, it's rare if you're just a middle-of-the-road player, like Jameson Williams has been up to this point, and your situation stays the exact same, like you just mentioned. Ben Johnson back, Goff back. I mean,
picture perfect situation to be an offensive player with a pure pocket quarterback. So let's roll, JMO.
Yeah, base rookie ticket autos right now for $30. Very, very favorable position. I mean, here's a blue rookie ticket auto out of 25 that closed an auction Sunday night for 67. I mean, that's a great price point. It leaves you with a lot of upside. I think there's a lot of upside on the Jameson Williams market. And you don't even have to really bank on him having a monster season. I think he's in a good spot for you to flip him at the beginning of September. And it's like the Lions. They're going to be back in the playoffs this year. I mean, that's a good team.
Back at the playoffs. Are you willing? Are you that confident?
Yeah, Lions are back in the playoffs this year. One of the reasons why I think so is because they were able to retain their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, brought so much to their offense. If they weren't able to retain him, because there was a while he was in line to get a head coaching job somewhere else, then I would have been a lot more speculative. But because they were able to retain him, bring a lot of the guys back, they made some serious improvements to the defensive secondary through the draft here. So I think the defense gets a little bit better. That was definitely a weak spot. And they flat out choked in the NFC Championship game. So I think they get back to a pretty deep NFC playoff run here this year.
Man, here's why I might be fading the Lions just a little bit, Andy. You're going to have this first place schedule. We'll see the schedules obviously come out here in a not too long future. I mean, every other team in the NFC North just got a lot better. They really did. I like what the Vikings have done. They're able to keep Justin Jefferson, and they've got good skill position guys. They get a motivated Aaron Jones coming over. Bears, I mean, what if best case scenario, Caleb Williams really is that guy? And then you got the Packers, right? Packers are young. They're exciting. They obviously made some splashy moves this offseason. Am I feeling a little bit of a Lion fade here?
Yeah, when you talk about the strength of the rest of the division, it does sound a little bit like a Lion fade. But I think what they have over these other teams is experience, and I think they've already greased that groove. You know, I would say maybe the Packers, if you look at it on paper, have the second most experience now, even though they have a super young squad. You know, you've got new quarterbacks in Minnesota and Chicago. So just from that standpoint alone, they don't have the same experience level in the NFL as these other guys, but they're certainly capable. It's going to be, you know, we'll see when the rubber meets the road. So right now I'm still projecting the Lions as the favorite in this division.
Let's go to Space Yak. Look at this, a super chat. Right when I change the background to green, we get a super chat.
Appreciate
it. Ty J Spears has been my play of the week twice. Let's see. It'll be 1A, 1B with Pollard, first year in and invested heavy in Prism. Tips when to sell with next year's cards and rookie cards incoming.
Yeah, tips when to sell with next year's cards and RC incoming. Do you understand this question, Carter?
Yeah, all his rookies are out. But here's what I'll tell you is I know you and I are on different ends on this. You don't think Tony Pollard is dust. Like, you still think Tony Pollard has some fuel left in the tank, because
his
numbers did get better towards the end of the season. I just don't see it with Tony anymore. I mean, he might have just turned me off because I had him in so many leagues, and he wasn't just bad. He just didn't pay off for me. Tyjae's got the juice, man. Tyjae has got the freaking juice. Now, James says it's Pollard's backfield to lose. I agree. But Tyjae will just be better, and it'll be undeniable that he's going to need to get more touches. Obviously, it depends on your
your price point, Space 99 Yak. Gabe says, we just had the 2024 draft class and still haven't gotten all the releases for 2023. So what releases am I missing for 2023? Am I missing Optic,
I guess? Yeah, yeah, you're missing Optic. You're missing Contenders.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I believe we're still missing some of the high-end sets like 2023, like Pro Uniform, Immaculate, and National Treasures. You know, those are big sets.
Yes, so this is what he's asking. Okay, now that I've read this and I confused myself, okay? He is saying he has a lot of Tajay Spears Prism rookie cards with – okay, I was thinking he was trying to say next year's draft class rookie cards. All right. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, Tajay Spears. All right. He was a rookie last year. Whatever. He is saying with all these other sets coming in, he has a lot of Tajay Spears Prism. What should he do?
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on what you can get for him right now. I'd go ahead and list him and buy it now. But, you know, you take advantage of some product, you know, exclusivity around Prism, because there's really not a whole lot else that's great out there. There's a few decent cards from some of these other sets, but generally speaking, the focus is still on 2023 Prism for these second year players. So yeah, I would try and take advantage of it now, but the thing is, his hype's not very high. A lot of people are buying Will Levis right now because his cards are pretty cheap. And he's a quarterback, so if they can get in on him. So, yeah, I would almost be just holding Tajay Spears or trying to maybe sell if you can, if it's rare enough. You have it in a buy it now. Definitely don't put it in auction.
Yes, exactly.
The best time to buy gets hurt at the beginning of the season, and the Titans are actually decent. They invested a lot in the trenches in the draft here. And you know, then Tajay obviously is going to go up a lot, but otherwise I think the Titans are in a rebuild mode and they're probably going to struggle. And this is probably, you know, best time to buy him is probably going to be October, November. But yeah, I mean, that's best advice I have. Tajay is an interesting one. I think you can really buy him right now and yeah, just hold on to him.
Yeah.
But I'd be very picky.
Yeah, so I think the Titans, yeah, they are rebuilding, but they actually got very aggressive. Like they're really, you know, Rand Carthon has gotten a lot of heat with some of his moves he's made, but you know, I think he was right drafting Tajay when he did. I think Tajay is going to be really good next year, but they go get freaking Calvin, they go get freaking Snead, they really loaded up to make a push for this year. I like that. And then F rebuilds, man. Even if your team sucks, put the chips in the middle of the table and freaking go for it. That's what we're all about here. But thank you so much, Space 99 Yak. So there you go. All right, Andy, I'll let you take whichever comment next and before we skedaddle here. Or if there's anything else that you wanted to get to.
Yeah, I mean, there is more, you know, takes I want to get to for the draft, but we are out of time here, Carter. I appreciate everybody tuning in today. Make sure you are subscribed. Turn those bell notifications on. We'll be back later this week for some more draft takeaway content. Carter's got strobes going.
Party, baby. That's what it's all about, man. The Football Card Quest Network, man. You got to – got to have a rave. You got to make sure you're having fun out of here. Okay. Yeah. Once again, big thanks to CGC and the nooffseason.com network. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
Peace out, guys.